Good day. Welcome to the Mid-Memphis Meats and Data Mini-Mart. How can I help you?
A good day to you, sir. My name is Bob Twitt from the Acme Data Debt Collection Agency. Here's my card. A friend told me about this place, said you had lots of hard-to-come-by data. Thought I should check it out.
Well, certainly. Just let me know if you want to see something.
I'll just look around a bit. Wow, this place looks like one of those old automats, you know, where the sandwiches and pies and meatloaf are behind glass doors.
We carry a lot of sensitive data here. Can't just have it all exposed to random passersby. You have to be authenticated and authorized to get access. We've even got a couple of extra secure rooms in the back for PCI and HIPAA data. Oh, excuse me a second.
No problem.
Good day. Welcome to the Mid-Memphis Meats and Data Mini-Mart. How can I help you, officers?
We're looking for Bob Twitt. We have reason to believe he may have come here, and we have a warrant for his arrest.
Well, he was.
There he goes! Through that door!
Hey, can't go back there without a warrant. It's a good thing the data's secure.
I don't see him. You?
No, I don't see him either. He must have gone out the back door.
We don't have a back door.
They don't have a back door.
Where could he have gone?
I don't have any idea. It's like he's vanished into thin air.
Does it look like anything's missing?
No, we keep our data secure, especially the sensitive data in the back where nobody is supposed to be.
All right, look, if you see him, call me immediately. Here's my card.
Will do.
Thank you very much. We'll see ourselves out.
I wonder where he could have gone. Good day. Thank you for calling the Mid-Memphis Meats and Data Mini-Mart. How can I help you?
Are they gone?
Yeah, they are, but how'd you get out? And why are they looking for you?
Let's just say that sometimes I can get a little passionate about my job. But you know, when a single bad decision about your data can mean the loss of millions of dollars, I think a little passion is a good thing.
Will you be back?
Well, I think I'm going to lay low for a little while, let things cool off some. But I'm always on the lookout for data debt to collect on. Goodbye for now.
This is John Ladley.
And Mark Cooper.
And Bob Twitt. Welcome to the Rock Bottom Data Feed.
You think that's the last we've heard from Bob Twitt?
Maybe. You never know. The only thing worse than data debt collectors in your office is the law in your office.
Or lawyers.
Or lawyers.
Probably not coincidentally, our guest today is an expert in the areas of technology, data, and the law.
He is, and since we're into legal topics today, we might want to start with a disclaimer.
Well, then hit it.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered legal advice. Neither Counter-Threaded Productions nor your hosts are responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast. The views expressed in this podcast may not necessarily be those of the hosts or the management. This podcast is not intended to replace professional medical advice. Please do not fold, spindle, or mutilate. Objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear, terms subject to change without notice.
Consider yourselves warned.
Would not be doing this podcast if we felt everything was a-okay. For sure, companies are attempting to be data-driven while at the same time ignoring and addressing any modifications to existing behaviors. How do we know this? Well, companies plunge into AI without knowing if what they're doing is ethical. We talked about this in a prior podcast. What about an organization state publicly it will install oversight over data to make customers happier? Or they'll be data-driven, but put one and only one person in charge of implementing the oversight required for that circumstance. I can show you 20 examples where one person is trying to convince middle management to adhere to some sort of oversight or support data quality with no air cover from leadership. Then there are data agreements that fail to protect private information, but organizations are flinging files between themselves thousands and thousands of times a day. We have fun with this pod, but underneath it is a problem. Corporate leaders are choosing to be on the sidelines. I think this, to a point, is justified, given the lack of clear understanding of the subtleties of data. So far, it seems the only thing that gets their attention are regulations. But there is another motivator. That is risk. Using your data without knowing the risks you might be taking can be serious. And a CEO's job is to manage risk. Yet data risks are not considered. What if you do something with AI or buy some data and you get sued? To be clear, none of this is up to IT. IT's pretty bad at this, if we're frank about it. And it's not their job. They do systems. The law comes second. And a large percentage of corporate lawyers don't understand these subtleties. And remember, there's only one data governance person out there with no air cover. Enter your friendly neighborhood lawyer. Working with a general counsel, a good data lawyer can get leadership to think about data and support implementation of capabilities that will reduce risks from data. Years ago, I was running a consulting firm and a flight school, and I had three lawyers. I learned a long time ago that any business or organization with a lot of irons in the fire needs a good lawyer. Data is no different. Do you have a data lawyer? Oh, and remember, be nice to each other. It's my pleasure to introduce our guest, William Tannenbaum. He has a long list of titles and accolades, and I'll just do a few of them here. Chair of the AI and Data Law Department, somewhere, I didn't write that down. He's a litigation partner, IP technology, AI lawyer for middle markets. He is a leading name in AI. He's a top technical lawyer, and I could just go on and on. I know him as a really good acquaintance, and he is highly respected. And he talks about this thing called law in this stuff called data. And this is kind of a new, fresh conversation. William, welcome to the Rock Bottom Data Feed.
Thank you, John. It's good to be with you.
All right. So let's start by setting a foundation here. You know, you're obviously a lawyer and a darn good one. And then we have business people that are looking for data and reports and stuff like that. And they want to do things with their data. This seems to be, to me, I feel like this is new to you. Can you frame this for me? I don't know if it's an issue, but this occurrence of law and how data is becoming so dominant and feeding AI and analytics and everything else in society. Can you just kind of frame what the issue is for a moment?
Sure. Data is a new type of business asset. From a legal point of view, the traditional methodologies that we use in law for older asset classes and technology do not readily fit with data. So that's the first issue. The second issue is that AI is not a strategy. AI is a technology layer to help accomplish what the strategy is. And the important thing is figuring out what you want to accomplish, adjusting to the fact that different stakeholders have different interests. So that has to be calibrated in order to do this efficiently. And a lot of companies are setting up study groups that report to the C-suite, and particularly the CFOs, because they're monitoring sales. And often the sales data doesn't fit with other metrics in the company. So that creates a problem.
So it is new. Why is this something a CEO, chief data officer, chief analytics officer, chief AI, why is this something they need to pay attention to?
First, it's a strategic asset on how to change the business process. Second, it generates additional revenue streams by commercializing the data. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get to that in a minute. There's problems with how you do that. I've invented a model called decision rights. And John, we'll come to that later, just so we stay in context at this point. And then because it's a new asset, you have to identify the legal problems, because bad data corrupts AI. So from a legal point of view, you're working with the data professionals. Data professionals are doing what data quality is, including all your legacy data. I'll make one observation that in corporate transactions, if you're acquiring data, do not acquire a data museum. what you're going to end up with is a lot of personal information that you don't use and there's no business purpose to have. If there's a data breach, then all that unused data generates damages and regulatory sanctions. And then the other thing is, CFOs are going to want data that matches up their core responsibilities. One of the things that changes data is if you do some kind of business transformation, some kind of digital transformation, which does usually go hand in hand with a data activity, then that's going to uncover new data issues, which are going to redefine what quality is. And they are going to address, when you're repurposing data, whether you have all the rights that you need, especially if it's third-party data or data that you've acquired and you don't know that you have the rights. One example, if you have data from your customer and you run AI over it, the AI solution is not going to recognize the confidentiality obligations that you have. And our relationships with different business partners and different companies also have different confidentiality obligations. Is it people who need to know? Is it one business unit? Can you share it with a family of businesses? AI misses all this. So from a legal point of view, that exposes you to legal liability for breaching confidentiality obligations.
That's serious stuff. Do you find that what I call data people that are, cleaning up the data, doing the AI, doing the scripts, writing the stuff, they're surprised to hear this. They're clueless about this. How much of a challenge is this? Or do they go, oh, wow, that's really cool. All right, we'll do something about it. How does that manifest itself?
I think there's two things. One is sorting out and cleaning up the data. Because mm-hmm. if you're going to use it, are you? Is William Tannenbaum the same person as Bill Tannenbaum?
Right.
You need to know that, especially when you have a company. Sometimes it's got ink, sometimes it's got company to it, whatever. You need mm-hmm. to understand that attributes don't change the nature of the identity. In addition, you need to make sure that you have some way to control your data. That's the decision rights model I mentioned earlier. And there's a couple of prospects or situations where that's important. The first is, how do you license your data in a way that you don't give away too many rights and you can come back and relicense the data and increase the revenue stream? The other way is that you can use the data to share the data within the company. And you care because that's compliance with corporate policies and compliance with regulatory obligations, which may not be embodied in the corporate policies. So you have to look at your corporate policies and make sure you're doing that. Now, in answer to your question, I find that data professionals would rather know what the requirements are than have to retrofit them later. And I find they're very open to figuring out, when we're doing data quality, let's make it legally compliant. And in that sense, they're often more open to legal considerations than the IT group is, who just wants to do IT things.
That was my next question. Is there's always in this, and in our first series of this podcast, we've heard this again and again, this pressure to do something. And in some cases, a sense or a feeling that being less formal or less disciplined in your approach is necessary to get us this report sooner or be doing AI sooner, right? I fear of missing out from the executives and stuff like that. And we've talked about the resistance areas before, and you've just mentioned one again that we've heard all our whole series here for the last 4 or 5 months, which is the IT folks don't get that. How do you correct that? What do you say to them?
That's really the role of the general counsel or the steering committee.
Aha.
To make sure there is a role for the C-suite to tell the general counsel what the actual business goal is, mm-hmm. as opposed to just doing stuff with data, you know, however stuff is defined.
Right.
So then to decide that, you usually need a multidisciplinary committee. So you've got to bring in business leaders of business units. You've got to bring in the IT guys, and you have to bring in the data folks. And depending on your industry, you have to bring in the compliance department, especially in generative AI.
Yeah. So I'm hearing it. You've got, we start a conversation with you. You need to think about the reason you're doing this. You just don't go out and do it. You need to have some discipline in the people doing the work. And then we have to bring a bunch of people in to the room. It sounds like if organizations are going to be serious and be legal and avoid risks of litigation and things like that, they need to get serious about some sort of strategy. Kind of goes without saying, right? But I think the leadership team needs to get this on their desk, not just that they're legal, right, or safe from a lawsuit or something, but all the stuff that has to go around this. I don't often see that on their desk. So, I mean, do you meet with a CEO once in a while? Do you meet with a corporate counsel once in a while, or a CFO? And you have to say, do you have to tell them, hey, you know, I'm talking about the law stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that goes around this you've got to worry about and put on your plate.
Yeah. And this is an area where law gets really close to business strategy. And,
yeah. You know, yeah.
I'm often approached by companies that say, I want to commercialize my data. I don't know what it means. How do I do it? But I'm sitting on a mountain that I know I can commercialize.
Yeah.
And so then the question, you know, there's a lot of legal questions, some of which I mentioned, which is, do you have sufficient legal right to do what you want to do with data?
Yeah.
A particular reason when you're repurposing data. So yes. And as I mentioned, companies have to be sophisticated, and those that are new to it need to hire outside experts, either on the data side or on the IT side. And the general counsel, you need someone who leads the orchestra. Most companies use the general counsel because if the technical side of the world does technical things, then who knows if that's in compliance or not.
So I sense here that organizations in general, when you're talking and really doing this, and you and I have presented together on data agreements and things like that, and we've shared this thought, when they're confronted with all of this, organizations in general don't seem to be ready for this.
And they should slow down, because a lot of companies are doing AI because their competitors are, and they feel they're missing out.
Yeah, and FOMO. They're FOMO'd, as the kids say.
And what that means is, if your competitors don't know what you're doing and you follow them, then you know, you don't know what you're doing either.
Keystone Cops now.
Yeah. So you should just slow down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't want to sound self-serving, but if you don't get legal input, then whatever you're trying to do is going to generate a problem as much as a benefit.
Well, it's obvious to the listener, we've talked before, because my next question is, what should you do about it? And you just said this, but my follow on to that is, this is the initial get it going. This is something that's going to be around for a while. This becomes part of the fabric of an organization, as long as you're quote unquote digital or quote unquote data driven or quote doing AI as part of your organization. So what's the frequency to address this? What's the ongoing things that you need to tell a CEO that's okay? Yeah. So now we got this, and we have some risks, and we're doing this, but now from now on until the end of time, this is something that you need to watch out for or make sure happens or need to know about. So what's kind of the sustainability angle for this?
Part of it's the tech. You know, all the hallucinations and stuff that came from the first round of ChatGPT, they're going to disappear very soon, because companies are going to use smaller, large language models. They're going to be more fine-tuned. Mm-hmm. They're going to be loaded with data that they can trust. And that means you just have business strategy. How you get there is a combination of the company and the lawyers.
Yeah.
And the thing you need to do is build in enough flexibility so that, as AI evolves, and there's a difference between, non-generative AI like machine learning and generative, which is ChatGPT. And a lot of companies are trying to restrict the use of Gen AI, and that's not going to work because everybody wants the same tech that their teenagers have. So they're just going to go ahead and do it. So
hire your kids.
Yeah. And somebody's going to talk to their kids and say, hey, can I put this in Dropbox?
Yeah.
It's not a terrific idea.
No.
So if you go crazy and overboard, people are going to ignore it. So you have to kind of do a risk analysis. And there's, in law, we talk about it a lot. We don't want to have the Gen AI generate a fake citation. But we do want to use it kind of to generate lists, not generate content. But, in some way, it's just kind of a souped up version of doing searches. So when I get a new client, I'll do a search on my client just to see what they're doing, if they've been sued,
the old conflict search, right?
It's more than that. We want to learn about what our clients do.
Okay.
And Gen AI can tell you that, right? You have to verify it, but it will come out. I'll give you an example. My daughter has an MFA. She has an MFA in creative nonfiction. Honestly, I don't know what it is, but I think I do creative nonfiction every single day. But I ran her through ChatGPT to get the bio of her because I was curious. And because it said MFA, she came back as a painter and a sculptress, And it's
there you go. Yeah.
It's like, well, if you didn't know any better, it was like, well, that looks reasonable. So that's why you want to use your own data instead of, some system that just swallowed the internet.
And
has that.
It swallowed the internet with everything of quality and delight the internet has to offer. Bill, thank you so much for this. This has been terrific. Before we let people go, we ask two standard questions for everybody. It gives kind of perspective across all the various folks we talk to that work in and around this context of data. First, in the context of data, name the person who is most influential to you in your career or your growth. And it can be someone living or dead or famous or not famous. But again, in the context of data and influence there. So who would that person be?
Chief data officer, someone who tells me how to organize things, tells me what data quality is so I can get from data to actionable plans.
Good. Okay.
That's where I need to talk to.
Yeah.
Inside lawyers aren't going to know that.
So
they have to set up a communication channel.
Okay.
And then I'm acronym enabled. So
I'll have to put that on my resume. I am acronym enabled.
Well, that means the data guys want to pick somebody who understands the stuff and not waste time training them.
Well, as data people hate it when we have to learn to communicate with someone and we can't just communicate in acronyms. It's a real annoyance. The second question here is, you see problems, you see challenges in doing what you do. If you were Harry Potter and could, wave your wand and change things right away with one fell swoop, what would you do?
Precision. From my point of view, I'm writing contracts and writing policies. You need to have a level of precision so that you're not constantly monitoring people. You have corporate rules, and the rules have enough detail so that the output is useful. And you're not going to get there if you have fluff.
Yep. Very good. Thank you, sir. We are most grateful you were a guest on our pod. We'll hear from you in a few minutes for our game show. But again, thanks so much. And I look forward to connecting with you again in the future, sir.
Well, thank you, John. It's a pleasure talking to you and your audience.
And thanks to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros. If you've got legal issues with your data, you need a lawyer or Hubris. Welcome to Dispatches from Rock Bottom, dredging up practical information, advice, and food for thought. Earlier, Bill Tannenbaum cautioned companies against creating a data museum where you collect a lot of information that you just don't need. Do you have one? My guess is probably. When I first started in data warehousing, disk space was at a premium. I remember having arguments with the DBAs about including a one-byte field that would hugely facilitate monthly maintenance. No, I was told, multiply that one byte by the number of records and it became simply too expensive to include. Today, especially in the cloud, disk storage is one of the smaller line items. Torrents of data pour into your data lake or lakehouse from everywhere. How many times have you heard, just put it all in there and we'll figure it out later? Business moves too fast to take the time for comprehensive documentation. That's what they sometimes call it, comprehensive documentation, but it's a false choice. Either write a dissertation about every data element or don't bother understanding any of them? No. There's something in between. We've all heard about data as an asset, and it definitely is, but it can also be a liability, especially if it's not well understood. How can you properly protect data if you don't understand it well enough to know what needs to be protected? And training AI models with bad data leads to bad models. But how are you going to know, at least before it's too late? Both of these present potentially significant legal liabilities. Everybody wants to race forward, and there are rewards for prime movers and early adopters, but not if the results are wrong. And as Bill said, if your company isn't ready, then slow down. Take the time to get legal involved. So between now and next time, the one thing you can do is to inventory the data that you're really using. Which of your data is generating business value, and which is generating only risk? Curate your data museum. That's what I think. We'd love to hear your thoughts and stories if you're willing to share. Write us at rockbottom@counterthreadedproductions.com.
I'd like to welcome William Tannenbaum back. We're going to play our game show. In this game show, what we do is we know, we understand, and a lot of people in technical realms are very music-oriented. We know that music is evocative, right? I had to learn that word just to do this podcast, Bill. All right, so anyway, I will play a short snippet of music. And again, in the context of data, please provide to us your impression you get from hearing that music. What does it evoke when you hear the music, okay? I'm going to give you three numbers, Bill. Please pick a number, and I will play one snippet and your reaction for that one snippet of music, okay?
Okay.
Sounds good. Bill, please pick a number, 13, 14, or 15.
15.
15 it is. Here we go. All right, sir. What did we get? What did that evoke in you?
Spiraling out of control.
Ah, yeah. That's cool. It is kind of I every time I hear those clips, I think of 3D glasses for some reason. I don't know why. And rubber monsters. But I like the spiraling out of control. That's very good. Thank you so much, Mr. Tannenbaum. It's always a pleasure. We're going to probably be connecting later in the year here. Maybe we'll hear from you next year as all this evolves and we all learn more and more about the data and the law. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, John.
And thanks again to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros, reminding you that any resemblance to actual events, persons, or businesses, living or dead, is purely coincidental. We may have seen the last of Bob Twitt, or at least for now, but don't trade data debt problems for legal problems. Data, AI, business, and legal strategy are all related and all need to be top of mind for leadership. Until next time, this has been John Ladley and Mark Cooper for the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Thanks for listening, and remember, when you're here, you've reached rock bottom. You can find more information about the topics covered in this episode, the fuss about legal stuff, at our website, counterthreadedproductions.com. The Rock Bottom Data Feed is a Counter-Threaded production, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.